First Samuel, yes, sir. First Samuel chapter number. We're up to 19, but we'll probably be in a couple chapters before. Or anything y'all been noticing as you've been going through there. It's such, we want to keep in mind about the difference. We see we've made this shift where God's pulled his spirit off of King Saul and he's anointed David. And there's going to be some consequences for that. In how Saul looks at life, how he looks at David, how he looks at things. And all of it goes back to just a few mistakes that King Saul made that manifested his heart and where he was at. He felt like he had the liberty to tweak what God had said. And anytime we feel like we have that liberty and that authorization or the right to tweak what God has called us to do, it's a revelation that we're not making the Lord the priority of our life. And that was evident in King Saul's life because he wasn't a worshiper. He didn't, the one time that we find him taking some initiative, but his initiative that he took was independent of God's leadership, is when he made a sacrifice on the altar instead of Samuel making that sacrifice. Saul didn't have that authority to do that. Though he being king, and there was a lot that he could do, that was one of those things that he was forbidden to do. And as a result, it crippled him. And it was a manifestation of where he was at in his own journey with life. And men that do not have altars, and when I say altars, places where they worship, where they meet with the Lord, where they surrender themselves to him from day to day, are men that are going to operate on their own. And anytime you operate on your own, the product of your life is not rooted in nor the result of that intimacy with the Lord. And that's going to not only hinder you, but it's going to cripple those around you.
Yes.
Because you've given off a false message, whether it be your wife, whether it be a husband, whether it be your children. You telling the world that we can live life without seeking Jesus. And that is a falsehood. You can live, but you don't live life. You don't have life. You're not celebrating life in grace. And I want to tell you that that's a problem everywhere we go. That's a problem with a lot of people, is that the product of their daily lives is not rooted in all the result of being in fellowship with Jesus.
Amen.
They're not hearing from him. And really, a man that walks by faith is a man, his life is rooted in the result of hearing from the Lord. It's walking in his ways. That's what it means to live by faith. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm hearing from the Lord. I'm obeying the Lord. Doing what he's asked me to do. And God doesn't take fond of us when we do things without him.
Right.
He tells us that over and over. Man, we do that at times. We do it more than we want to admit. And that's what Saul, he didn't want to admit it.
Right.
That was another revelation of his heart. He never wanted to admit where he was at. He always pointed the finger.
Blame somebody
at somebody else. I sought to take care of the issue on my own terms.
Right.
What it boils down to. That's what he was saying. And that's where you look at 1 Samuel 15. Look at verse number 20, 21, 22, I believe it is. Notice how God helps us with these things. Proverbs 14:14 says this: the backslider is filled with his own ways. The word filled simply means influence. Just we could say it like this: the backslider is influenced by his own ways. His own ways influence how he lives. But a good man, in which we know there is no good men outside of grace and righteousness being worked in them.
Right.
A good man is a man that lives by faith. The scripture says he is satisfied from above. That is simply saying a good man, a righteous man, is not satisfied with what he can produce of himself. He's only satisfied by what God gives him and what God establishes in his life. But a backslider is influenced by his own ways. And this is where King Saul was. And that 99% obedience equals 100% disobedience. He said, I did obey the Lord. And Samuel said, well, why in the world do I hear those
bleating? Where's
I hear those sheep. I hear those oxen. I hear those,
well, the king,
those cows.
He left the king alive too.
Yeah. He said, did not God tell you to kill everything? But you felt like you could tweak what God said because your way was better than God's way. So therefore, you left the best to offer as a sacrifice to the Lord. Well, that's how they cloaked it.
Right, yeah.
And you left the king. Well, God says, annihilate all of it. And that just goes back to God, even when it doesn't necessarily make sense. I mean, you got creatures out there that would be perfect for them to take home and sacrifice, or take home and use, or take home and eat. It don't make sense to kill it all when you got a perfectly great calf standing there, or steer before you, or a good old milk cow. That's crazy to kill that thing in our mind.
Yeah.
But God said, annihilate, kill it all. Don't let anything breathe.
That's right.
And which revealed his heart, that simply he felt like he had the authority to adjust what God told him to do. And when we do that, that's where Samuel says to him, like in verse number 22 of chapter 15, and Samuel said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, there's that behold word. You need to see this by faith.
Right.
To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. He's simply telling him that your obedience, your faith obedience, is what God asked of you, not for you to offer him a sacrifice. Your sacrifice has actually turned out into sin, which is manifested that you didn't faithfully obey the law. God is not desirous of a burnt offering. That's not what he asked you to do. Bulls on the altar and fat on the altar being consumed by fire is not what God was looking for. He was looking for you to obey him, Saul. He don't need that. What he wants is you to follow him and do what he said. And that's why he's saying, it's always better to obey the Lord than to try to cover up your disobedience with a sacrifice. That's what Saul was attempting to do, is that he was attempting to cover up his disobedience. But in his mind, he felt like he obeyed, which shows he was missing the mark to begin with.
Yeah.
And that bringing this best back, sacrificing the best to the Lord, that would appease God. That would make him feel better about us. And Samuel said, no, that's not what delights the heart of God. Your faith obedience delights God, not what you offer him on the altar. Because if God doesn't accept you from your faith obedience, he doesn't accept what you offer.
That's right.
He won't take what you give him. Matter of fact, look in Genesis. Go to Genesis, if you would, chapter number 4, I believe it is. Genesis 4, verse number 3. I'll start reading verse number 3. Genesis 4, 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. He brought an offering. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected, he gave attention, he was delighted in Abel, notice, and his offering.
Right.
Key. He respected Abel, and because he respected Abel, he respected Abel's offering. Y'all see that?
Yes.
He goes on to say, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you, Cain, do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desires for you, but you shall rule over it. Now notice what he just said there. It has nothing to do with what he offered. It had everything to do with Cain. If Cain is not acceptable, if God doesn't accept him, he doesn't accept what he does for him.
Yeah.
That's the same thing that Samuel was saying to Saul. If God doesn't accept you, Saul, he doesn't accept your sacrifices that you offer to him. It doesn't matter how good it is.
That's right.
It doesn't matter if it's the best of the best. He's not going to accept what you give to him if he doesn't accept you. And that's what he was teaching us from the very onset of time when he gives this record of Cain and Abel. Cain initiated this offering. He brought the fruit of his ground, which was the fact that it was a product of what he has done.
Right.
Look what I've done. Look what I've grown. Look what I've produced. Look what I've worked for. And he brought a sacrifice of his works to the Lord. But his heart wasn't right, because it was like, look at me. Look what I've done for you. Look what I've accomplished in life. Look all that I did. And God said, that's not what I'm looking for. I want you to trust me and obey me. And when you do, everything else you do from that is going to be favored and blessed by me.
Right.
But if I don't accept you, I won't accept what you do for me. Yeah. Which goes back to, Cain, you continue to operate in your own strength, sin is going to conquer you.
Right.
But if you'll turn and trust me, you'll be able to overcome sin by my strength and my might.
Yeah.
It was what he's helping us with today. Look at Proverbs 15. Tell you what, I like our men's Sunday school class, being able to just share and hear from you and us get to, you know, we don't always get to get together. And you think this is a once a week type thing, and there's other times during the week we're able to get together where it's just us and men. So it's good to be able to talk about things that you're going through in life and how God is using those things. Look in verse number 8, 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked, which was simply means the wrong, those that are not right with God nor rightly connected to him, what is it to God? It's an abomination to him. But the prayer of those who are upright, which means those who are rightly related to him and rightly connected to him at the time, that's why he describes it as being upright, is his delight. This is Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. Look in, I think it's verse 20. Look in verse 29. Verse 29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous.
Amen.
So that simply says, if I'm not right with God nor rightly connected to him, what I do, even what I do in his name and for him, is actually an abomination to him.
Yes.
Cain's sacrifice was an abomination. Why? Cain was an abomination.
Right.
Because Cain wasn't right with the Lord. And we don't make ourselves right with the Lord on what we do. We're only right with the Lord based on his grace, what he's done for us. We entrust ourselves to him who's made us right. So we trust that. And when we do, we're taking God at his word. We believe in what he said. As a result, God shows favor to us. God accepts what we do. His presence is upon it. He affirms it. And what we find with King Saul is God changed the man's heart, put his spirit on him to accomplish a specific purposes. But when Saul didn't cultivate that changed heart with being rightly connected to the Lord, what he began to do in life was an abomination to him. He operated in life without the leadership of his king. He governed without being governed. And that's important for us when we look at Saul's life about accountability. 15:9.
It says, he loveth him that follow after righteousness.
Mm-hmm. The first part of it, the way of the wicked is an abomination of the Lord.
Right.
Because the way of the wicked is not following the path of righteousness.
That's right.
So it goes back to, if God doesn't accept me, he's not going to accept anything I do.
That's right. we're going the wrong way.
That's where Paul said, look, and I do what I do, he said, and go to the other dark places of the world that men can offer acceptable sacrifices to God. That is, God makes them right through Jesus. And when they right through Jesus, leaning and looking and following him, they can offer unacceptable sacrifices to the Lord. Their praise is accepted. Their prayers are answered. Their thanksgiving is valued before the Lord. But if they're not right with God through Jesus, nothing they do is right with God.
Amen.
Now, that's hard to convince a world around us of these things. But that's why we stand on the authority of the Word and trust what God has said, and why we want to hold as men one another accountable, to help one another, check on one another, see how people are doing and doing the right things. Because if you're not careful, we'll be like King Saul. We'll start neglecting those altars. And when we do, it's just inevitable we're going to start slipping further and further. And we feel like we have the authority to start adjusting what God said to fit my lifestyle.
Right.
I start tweaking what God's told me to do to start feeling better about what I'm doing rather than lining myself up with the Lord. And we need that. That's why we do what we do and gather together. Look in Proverbs 28:9, I think it is. 28:9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, the word. The law is basically saying whatever God has said is the law. He's laid down the law to help us, not to hurt us. And he who turns his ear away from hearing it, even his prayers are what?
Abomination.
An abomination.
We must have gone down this path before because I got all these marks.
Did we have? We talked about it before.
Back,
we have.
Back to what we were talking about last week. You know, you're just trying to get every Joe Blow out there to pray.
Yes.
Right.
That's not being affected.
Mm-mm. God doesn't hear every Joe Flow. Mm-hmm. He only hears the righteous, the upright. And that's where we go back to of saying, look, I'm not righteous of my own self. I didn't achieve this. I didn't get to this place. Man, Jesus done something for me. And I trust him, what he did for me. And God's made me righteous as a result thereof. And I believe he hears our prayer. I believe he helps us. And now we want to grow in that righteousness to know what he knows so that we can walk in his wisdom and in the power of his might. And King Saul was one of those guys that governed in life. I got this little note. Saul's problem is that he governed the people without being governed by a king. As a result, he led as a man without a king. And you don't want to lead your families. I don't want to lead my family. I don't want to lead this fellowship. We don't want to lead one another without being governed by a king.
Amen.
Because if we do, all we're doing is we're being misled and misleading others.
Blind, leading the blind.
Yes. That's why Jesus will tell us in John chapter 15, you can't do anything except unless you're connected to me. If you're not connected to me, if you're not abiding in me, you can't do anything of any eternal value. Amen. It won't be the result of grace. And as a result, there's no profit in that. There's no benefit in that. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It's damaging. It tells other people it's okay to live this life without being intimately, personally connected and guided through life without Jesus. That it's legit to live that way. And we don't want to mislead anybody with that idea. We want them to know that, hey, I can't do what I do. We can't do what we're going to do except from knowing and hearing and walking in faith with the Lord. Amen? Amen.
Verse 13.
Of?
Proverbs 28.
Proverbs 28, yeah, verse number 13.
Yeah.
Which says, he who covers his sins, he who covers them up will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Man, that's a word there, isn't it? He who covers, and that's what Saul kept trying to do, didn't he?
Yeah.
He kept trying to cover it up with excuses. Cover it up with somebody else made this decision.
They forced me to.
Yeah. I saw the Philistines that they're about to attack. So I took matters in my own hands.
Yes.
And he says those words. And this is a pattern.
Yeah.
It says that I said, I saw, and I sensed. He says these things. I saw that you wasn't coming. I said that the Philistines were going to overtake us, and I sensed, was compelled. I felt like I had to do something. So I took matters in my own hands.
Yeah.
And he nowhere said that I saw God was overshadowing us and protecting us and we was under his wings. He never said, I saw what God had for us, and that is that we trust him and walk in his righteousness, and he promised he'd be our deliverer. He never said that God said that, look, one man will chase 100 and 10 will chase 1,000 away. So we're going to wait and rest in the Lord. See, that those things were revelations that he wasn't even looking heavenward. He was looking at his circumstances. And everything he did was operating about what he saw on this earth and nothing of what God promised he would do. And therefore, he acted on what he saw, and he took a sacrifice and he offered it on the altar. And God says, as a result, now he's stripping your kingdom from you. He's giving it to somebody else. And that's pretty. And we go through those same patterns.
Oh, yeah.
When we function by what we see, what we say, and then what we sense to do next, and then we seek or sought to fix the problem our way, we get in trouble. We do foolish things. And we're all subject. We're all prone to do it, you know.
Yes.
So we just got to watch this and be careful with it. Well, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for this time we have as brothers in Christ to open up your word, to examine what you have, to examine our own heart. That we are not at a place where we renegotiate and adjust and tweak the things you tell us to make it fit comfortably in our own way. We want to be right with you. We want to walk in your uprightness, and we want to hear from you. We want to do life your way. We want to follow in the paths of righteousness. For your name's sake. So help us. We need you. Help us hold one another accountable to be a help to one another. None of us have arrived to a place that we can't stumble or fall. And we need our brothers to lift us up and continue to edify and to encourage. Also to correct and instruct when needed. So we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.